This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We're in a series of messages on the ABCDs of success in life. The ABCDs of success in life. And we've already identified what the ABCDs are. First of all, A is that we have to acknowledge God's word in every circumstance. B is that we need to believe God's word. C is we need to confess God's word. And D is we need to do God's word. Amen? We found out that success in life, living the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, all depends on how we handle the word of God. If we're going to walk in the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, number one, we cannot afford to neglect the word or to reject the word. And number two, we're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to work at it. Be diligent. It does not come automatically that we will have that success in life that Jesus said we're supposed to have unless we buckle down to the word of God. We need to have the direction and the guidance of the word of God. God will give you a word to direct you in the way that you need to go, and he'll give it to you right on time. Amen. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me give you some background on what's happening in 1 Kings 17. King Ahab had come on the scene. Ahab was the evil king who married Jezebel. Anybody remember Jezebel? Amen. The scripture says he was the most evil king of them all. And so God, through Elijah, sent word that he was going to bring a drought on the land to show Ahab who was really God. Because Ahab had actually taken the idol gods Baal and set them up in the temple of God. God said, I'm going to prove to you who's really God. Look at verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now look at what happened. God says, because of the evilness of this king, I'm going to bring drought on the land for 3 years so he'll know it's God. But understand, when God brought drought on the land, it was dry for everybody. Elijah himself was suffering from the drought. Now catch it. God already knew what he was going to do. Amen? When it started getting dry and Elijah didn't know what to do, what does the word say? It says, and the word of God came to Elijah and said, go to the brook Cherith. I have already set it up for you. There's water there, and I'm going to have the ravens come and bring you food. See, God already had a plan in place. And here's the point I want you to see. God got Elijah moving in his plan by giving him the word. Elijah, here's the word of God to you today. Go to the brook Cherith. Catch this. If Elijah had not believed the word of God, he would never have gone, and he would have stayed hungry and thirsty because God's plan depended on him believing God's word. So when the brook dried up, look at verse 8. When the brook dried up because of the drought, God already had another word for Elijah. Look at this. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. The first thing I want you to see is this. God has a word for you in your situation. Whatever you need, he has a word for you. When Elijah needed water and food. God says, the word of God comes to you saying, go to the brook. When the brook dried up, what happened? The word of God came to him saying, I've already prepared a widow woman who is going to take care of you, Elijah. Now all you have to do is follow the word. You see, when you reach that crisis situation in your life where you don't know which way to turn, where your brook has seemed to dry up, where everything seems to be going the wrong way for you, understand God has a word for your situation, and it is always a word in due season. You see, God has the responsibility to give us his word. Look at verse 2 of 1 Kings 17. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, came to Elijah. God sent his word forth for Elijah. Verse 8 says the same thing. God is responsible for making sure that his word goes forth so that we can get the message we need to get. But if we are not listening, that word will do us no good. Here's the second principle. God will speak his word to us, but we have to be listening. You know, I hear all the time from people who say, oh, I enjoy your radio broadcast. You know, people all over town, I enjoy listening to your radio broadcast. Think about it. We go to a lot of trouble to put that broadcast on. But what would happen if nobody turned on their radio? All that effort would go to waste, amen? Because not only do we have to get it out, but they, the listeners, have to make the effort to tune it in. Now here's the point. God will give us a word whenever that word is needed, but if we are not listening, we won't get the word. In the New Testament, there are two words, two Greek words that are used for the word of God. They're very similar in meaning, and sometimes they're used interchangeably, but they have different connotations. One of those words is logos, L-O-G-O-S. And the connotation of logos is that it's the written word of God that's for everybody. When we say the Bible is the word of God, we're talking about the logos. It's there for anybody. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ, the logos of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the logos. It says, let that word dwell in you. That's why we emphasize so much getting into the word and reading the word and meditating on the word on a daily basis, because the scripture says it needs to dwell in us how? Richly. Richly. But then there's a second word that's used to describe the word of God, and that word is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. R-H-E-M-A. And that signifies the spoken word of God, the word spoken into your particular circumstances of life. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What's it saying? That word that we need that to direct us on a daily basis is that rhema word, that word God speaks to us in our situation to give us the particular direction that we need. God will have a word for you, and it'll be the word that you need. How many of you know that the word I need to hear today may not be the same word you need to hear today? All of it's there in the Bible, in the written word of God. But God, by his Holy Spirit, will give us the word we need to hear. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. When you go to the word of God and you're seeking direction for how to live your life, understand God wants to get his word through to you. 1 John chapter 2. First of all, look at verse 20. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27 of 1 John 2. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. What's that word telling us? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, you already have upon you an anointing to hear and understand the word of God, because God himself will be your teacher. Amen? God will be your teacher. God says, I have anointed you for the understanding of my word. When I put that word out there, if you have a listening ear to hear, that word will be such that you can understand it. You can receive the direction that you need, because I, by the Spirit of God, have anointed you to do that. There are people who say, I can't understand the Bible. Well, if you can't understand the Bible at all, you know what that tells me? You must not have the Spirit of God living in you. Now, you won't understand all of the Bible the first day you start reading it. Amen? Guess what? Can I confess? There are parts of the word I don't understand yet. Amen? Parts of the word I don't know yet. Praise God. But guess what? What I do know, I'm putting to use. Hallelujah. Amen? And God says what I don't know, he'll make clear to me. Praise God. See, God takes the initiative to communicate his word. It is God's responsibility to make sure that his word for us in our circumstance is there and available to us in a way that we can understand by the anointing he's placed on our lives. But then again, what does that mean our responsibility is? We got to be listening. If we are not listening, the word will do us no good. Well, how do we listen? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Amen? Now, how do you get to know the voice of a particular person? If somebody called you up on the phone and you never met that person or talked to that person before, you ever have this happen to you? Somebody call up on the phone and they just start talking, and the first thing you have to say is, who is this? Amen? Why? You don't recognize the voice. Well, what does it take for you to get to the place where you recognize that voice? You got to hear it. You got to hear it over and over and over and over again. And finally, you get to the point where they can call you and start talking, and you know exactly who it is by the second word. Sometimes by the first word. Amen. In fact, there's some people, they call you up, and just by the way they breathe, you know who it is before they even say anything. See, you've gotten to know them. Well, now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do we get to know the voice of Jesus? Because understand, Jesus is not the only one that's talking to us. How many of you know that the devil is talking to you sometimes? I don't know how many people I have come to talk to me and tell me, Pastor, you know, I'm just so unhappy with my wife. And I believe God is telling me to divorce her. And you know, I've got a friend that I've kind of been seeing here for the last couple of years. And I believe God wants me to divorce my wife and marry my friend. And you know, I prayed about it, Pastor. I've been praying about it. And I heard the word of God tell me I could do this. Any of you know where that word came from? It smelled like smoke. Amen. See, here's the point. When we say, I am listening for the word of God, we got to understand there is more than one word out there to hear. The devil is talking to us. How many of you have ever had friends give you advice and you look back on it and say, as a Christian, I now recognize that was bad advice. Amen? We got friends talking to us. And here's maybe the worst one. We're talking to ourselves. How many of you have ever talked yourself into something and you knew it was wrong when you were doing it, but you talked yourself into it? Amen? You see, we got all of those voices speaking to us. How can we tell which one is the voice of Jesus? Let me tell you how we can tell. We got to get to know that voice. And where is it that you will find the voice of Jesus? Here it is, in the Word of God. Amen? The more we hear his voice through the Word, the more we get into the Word and see how he operates, the more we get to hear his voice. And the devil comes around sneaking, trying to fool us, and we say, I don't recognize that voice. That doesn't sound like the voice I've gotten to know already. That is not Jesus, because Jesus doesn't talk like that. Amen? See, the rhema word, that spoken word that's just for us, will come to us. But in order to recognize it, we got to spend enough time in the written word with the logos of God so that we can recognize when we hear the true word of God speaking into our circumstance. The rhema, that word that speaks to us, will almost always come to us wrapped up in the context of the written word of God. Because let me just warn you of something. If you ever think you've heard from God, and what that word is telling you is something different from what's written in the word of God in the Bible, what you have been hearing did not come from God. God does not contradict himself. If it doesn't line up with his written word, it came from someplace else. And that's why it's vital, it's important that we get into the Word of God. If you are facing some issue in your life, you need to search the Scriptures. Most of the time, it's been while I am reading the Word that the answer to my situation has come to me. And guess what? Many times, it's not because I'm sitting there going, God, I need an answer to this thing today. Please give me an answer right now. Oh, let me search out every Scripture I can on this subject. We need to search those out, but you know what? Many times the answer has come while I'm just reading. Doesn't have anything, I think, to do with my issue. I'm just reading the Word and studying the Word and meditating in the Word. And suddenly it's like God throws a spotlight on a particular verse in the Scripture. And he says, this is for you today. Yesterday, it wasn't time yet. You could have read that verse yesterday 5 times. It didn't mean what it means today. But today, this is my word to you. This is my rhema to you. And it's there like it's a spotlight on it through the word of God. And so what I'm finding out is if I want to hear God speak to me, if I want to know his voice, the first thing I got to do is make sure, 2 Timothy 2:15, what? That I am diligent about staying in the word of God. Now, here's where we really want to get to today. To get results, once I hear the word, I got to believe the word. Amen? Amen? Elijah went to this woman in Zarephath. God told him, I've prepared her for you. Does this story excite you the way it excites me? Look at this. The drought is on the land. There is no food. This poor woman says, all I've got is just a little bit of meal and some water. Can't get any more. There's no welfare. Can't get a job. All I can do is we're going to eat this little bit we got, and then we won't have any more, and I guess we'll die. And here comes this strange man, Elijah. And first of all, he kind of eases his way in. Would you get me a cup of water, please? Well, she could handle that. So she went to get him a cup of water. But while she's on the way, what did he say? And bring me a cake to eat. Sir, I'm sorry. All I've got is this little handful of flour. It's not even enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this little bit and we're going to die. So what did Elijah, this man of God, say to her? Take this little bit of stuff you got, give it to me first. Did you notice that word? Give it to me first, and then whatever I don't eat, you and your son eat. How many of you think you'd go for that? Strange man walk up to you and say, you don't have anything, but what little you got, give it to me first. Catch what was going on here. God says, I have prepared a widow. God was already at work in this woman's heart. Amen? God had already prepared her. And when Elijah came, there was just one decision that she had to make. Is this man speaking for God or is he not? Is this man speaking for God or is he not? Because what he said, if he's not speaking for God, then you'd be a fool to go along with him. Isn't that right? He asking for all you got. Can't get any more. If he's not speaking for God, you'd be a fool. So what do we know about this woman? Elijah said, go give me this. She went, she did it. She made him up a little cake out of what she had, brought it to him. What does that tell you about her? She believed the word. She believed the word. If she hadn't believed the word, she never would have done it. She believed that word. And look at this. When God's word comes to you, the way it came to this woman, so many times it will challenge your faith. The word of God is not comfortable. How many of you know that? The word is not comfortable. It challenges us. It challenges us to move beyond where we want to go, to move out of our comfort zone, to do things that we didn't think we could do. God says, this is my place for you. This is my way for you. And if you believe the word, you're going to have to get up and do something you would not otherwise have done. Amen? That's what happened in this woman's life. When she made the choice to believe the word, then God challenged her faith. Understand this. There are two ways that you can look at what's going on in your life. There are the facts and there's the truth. Let me tell you what the fact was about this woman's life. She only had a little bit, not enough for her son and herself. It would have been foolish, according to the facts, to give that to somebody else. That challenges your faith. That challenges your faith. And you have to make the choice. Am I willing to step outside my comfort zone to believe the word of God? Because if God has said it, what? He's going to come through on it. The fact is, I don't have enough. But the truth is, if God said he will supply, God will supply, even if I don't have it for myself. You remember when the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses sent out the 12 spies and said, go find out how we can take this land. Come back, bring us back the information that we'll need to go in there and conquer it the way God said we can conquer it. And what happened? All 12 of those spies went in and they all saw the same thing. What did they see? They saw there are giants in this land. Amen? Was that the truth? It was a fact. There were giants in the land. Said, in their sight, we look like grasshoppers. But what was the truth? God said, you go in, I'll give it to you. The fact was, they're giants. The truth was, God had already given it to them. You see the difference? If we just focus on the facts, we can miss the truth. Jesus didn't say, you shall know the facts, and the facts shall set you free. What did he say? You will know the truth, and it's the truth that will make you free. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. When we start listening for the word of God and God begins to challenge our faith to believe what he said, this is what we need to remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? What we see is the facts, but what our faith sees is what? The truth. How do we know it's the truth? Because the scripture says God's word is truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at those things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. What you see with your physical eyes are just the facts. Remember, Dragnet? Just the facts, man. Just the facts. Amen. What you see with your eyes are just the facts. But what is unseen, what we see with the eyes of faith, what? God says, that's eternal. That's what is true. That's what really matters. And many times when the word of God comes to us in our situation, God will challenge us to believe the truth rather than the facts. Let's bring it home. The word of God says, when we come and bring to him the first fruits of the increase that we have, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out us on us a blessing that we won't even have room to receive it. Amen? Amen. Anybody believe that? Hallelujah. Praise God. But then you go home and you get your bank statement and you see all those bills coming in every month. And you say, what? Now, I know what the Bible said, but these bills are a fact. Does it make any sense for me to go give my money away? Well, if you just look at the facts, it makes no sense at all. Amen? But what? If you look at the truth, if you look at the truth, if you look at the fact that God, what God says is the truth, and what God says he will back up and he will do, and move beyond facts to the truth. Believe the word of God. Believe what God has said. That's what this woman did. And that's why she got the result that she got. Look at this. 1 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 15. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Understand this. If God speaks it, it's the truth. Amen? And God will honor his word. This woman did what Elijah told her to do because she believed it was the word of God. And because she believed it and acted on it, God honored his word. Oh man, can't you imagine the scene? She goes and she takes this little bit of flour that she has and this little bit of oil. She makes a cake for Elijah. And probably the whole time she's bringing it to him, she's going, why in the world are you doing this? I can't believe you're doing this, giving this man your last flour. I don't know why. She probably didn't know why she was doing it. But God had already prepared her heart. And can't you just see it? She gives it to him. He eats it. She goes back and says, well, maybe there's a little bit left. And she looks in there and, wait a minute, I thought I just took something out of here. In fact, it looks like there's more in there now than there was when I started. And she makes something up for herself and her son. And she eats it. And, oh, wow, praise God. But what are we going to do tomorrow? So tomorrow morning for breakfast, she goes and she says, well, I'll go see if maybe there's a little bit left. And she opens up the can of flour and, man, look at, child, come here, look at this. Do you see this? There's flour in there. Now, I know I used all that flour yesterday. And every day she went back to the can, to the jar, and opened it up. And there was flour and there was oil so that they could eat for that day. See, God will honor his word. God will give you a word. You can count on it. If you're facing a circumstance, a situation, a challenge in your life right now, and you don't know what to do next, the word says, ask for God's wisdom and ask in faith, and he will give you the word that you need to hear. But then you've got to make up your mind that when he gives it, you'll believe it and you'll do it. Because otherwise, it will do you no good.